The ministry is busy. It is. I'm just so tickled. I'm so happy. I'm humbled that the Lord's. I say this every morning when I pray, Lord, I'm not worthy to be used by you, but I'm thankful that you called me to be used of you. I'm thankful you called me to preach. I'm thankful you showed me a way to reach our young people that I had a burden for. The ministry is just. It's still working. I'm just going to give you a rundown of the schools that we're, Ms. Conrad and I are personally helping in and teaching in. Ash County Homeschoolers, we're still going to be working with them this year. Wilkes County High School, North Wilkes County High School, just opened this year. I just got a phone call the other day. We're going to be teaching down there. Johnson County High School, we're going to be teaching over there again this year. We have the same classes we did last year. We were teaching in an algebra class. They can use this stuff anywhere. But we were teaching in an algebra class, but I went to the principal and asked her, I said, have you ever thought how we could reach more young people? I said, we're hearing good stuff from your young people, good evaluations. They're getting some help. But I said, if you want to see a change in your school, we need to reach more of them. She's like, well, I don't know where we can use it, unless. And she gave us the name of a new health teacher. Well, this year we're going to be able to reach every freshman in that high school this year. Amen. That's what we need. We need to get to a lot of them. The Yes Club at Bethel, we've still got that going on as far as I know. And it was a good work set up there. Miss Lindsay Wilson, our teacher associate that we were working with there, has left. She left at the end of last year. She's like, and I thought, oh no. But there's enough young people there to keep the Yes Club going. But she's going to Hardin Park. And I get an email from her. She's like, if I can get, I know it's got to be student initiated, but she said, if I can get some students involved at Hardin Park School, do you think you could have a Yes Club there? Absolutely. Absolutely. Pray about a Yes Club at Hardin Park School. Be a blessing to see a Bible club there. Still working in Watauga High School, as far as I know. Washington County, Virginia is going to be opened up this year. Millers Creek Elementary School in Wilkes County. Freedom Trail Elementary in Avery County. I don't know if I told y'all about that one or not. It's a new school that opened up. It opened up last April. Believe it or not, God's good. He can open up a school in April. Usually it doesn't happen that way, but he opened this one up. We got a good godly teacher over there. Her daddy's a preacher and working in the fourth and fifth grade in that school. And that's pretty much the schools that we're in right now for this year. So we've got a busy schedule. It's been a busy summer. People ask us, well, what are you going to do during the summer when school's out? I wish I knew where the summer went, because it's just, here we are back in school again. I'm going like crazy trying to set up schedules, but it's good. I like to stay busy, and staying busy for the Lord is most important. That's the way we should be, amen? That's going really well. The Yes Clubs are going well. I got to tell you a blessing about the B-Bucks. If y'all don't know about the B-Bucks, these are the dollar bills that, if you look at them in the serial numbers, they've got, I don't even know if I got a dollar in my pocket, I don't think I do. They've got the little serial number, the stamp that's on it's got a B in it. Well, we save these. And these go for the Bible clubs, and that's all they go for. They don't go for our support. They just go for the Bible clubs to help buy Bibles and to help put Scripture in the hands of the young people at the Bible clubs, helps put Scripture on their backs. We do these, the Whosoever T-shirts, and it has the big question on the front of it. If you've seen them, I don't know, are you a whosoever on the front of it? And on the back of it, it's got the verse, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son that... You know, whosoever shall believe upon his name will be saved. And I may have misquoted that, shall be saved. But that's all the B-Bucks go for. And right before this Yes Club opened up, the B-Bucks started flooding in. We hadn't got maybe 20 of them in 2 years. And then all of a sudden the B-Bucks started coming in. I was like, what in the world? Sharon said, you watch. Watch there be a Bible club started somewhere. And I was like, oh my. It wasn't a week after that I got a phone call, but from that woman at Bethel School said, the young people here want to start a Bible club. Can you help us with that? I was like, yes, I'll be there. It helped us put Bibles in the hands of those students that didn't have Bibles. We handed out prayer cards to them. There's some of them that said, I need a Bible. Amen. We helped. These B-Bucks helped put Bibles in the hands of the young people. We didn't get to hand out our Whosoever T-shirts last year. We're going to do that this fall. But... it'll help put Scripture on their back. Talk about a testimony, a witnessing tool. You're looking in the front of you in class, and there's Scripture on the back of somebody's T-shirt. Amen. The Bible clubs are going well. We are in the process of, I won't be here to give you an update that I told you about Friday. We're working with Mr. Bellamy, mentoring under him pretty much, learning how to teach these training classes so that I can train volunteers. He's all the way over in Cleveland now. He's 4 hours away to train. So I'm working to try and train volunteers to go into the schools. I'm learning how to do that and do it effectively. So I'm doing that. And since I'm not preaching, I'll call my wife. Ms. Conrad, is there anything I'm leaving out about update to the ministry? I know I could probably sit up here and talk about it all evening if I sat here and thought about it. But she's giving me the thumbs up. That means I'm good. But it has been a busy summer. We've been contacting a bunch of principals. Pray for Valley Cruces School. Apparently, from what I understand, the vice principal that was in the high school where we've been teaching for 5 years has just moved over to Valley Cruces Elementary School. So keep prayers. All of our schools up here in this county that they use the character under construction lessons in their classes. It's been a blessing. The young people, it's helped them like I haven't believed. If I could bring the evaluations up here, I'd be reading through them. I'd probably cry through half of them because the young people are getting help out of these lessons, and it's just a blessing. Last year in the ministry, update, 303 souls got saved in this ministry as a whole. Still teaching in 15 states in the United States. Currently, I believe it's 6 counties in North Carolina. And I know of 2 counties in Tennessee. We're teaching one of them. And, I believe Carter County is getting ready to open up. We met with the principal over there just last week. And so I believe that's not on my calendar, but from what I understand from that principal, that school's getting ready to open up too. So we got a busy schedule. Pray for volunteers. Pray for volunteers in the ministry. We need help. And so we can keep contacting principals and doing what we're doing. We need to duplicate what's the fire that the Lord's stirring in these people's hearts. Does anybody have any questions about the ministry while I'm here? I know sometimes you don't usually get to ask about the ministry. Is there anything that you want to ask myself about the ministry? Any questions, concerns you might have about it? I thank you, church, for your faithful support. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. The only way they can get, the only way they cannot do that is if they get rid of, and this is law, they have to get rid of all T-shirts that have anything to do with any kind of advertisement, which means all your Nike shirts, all your Under Armour shirts, and I believe it's even football jerseys they're not allowed to wear in the school. So if they can wear that stuff, I do know some schools that have taken everything out. They just said, well, we're not going to have anything. And that's the way they wanted to do it. But if they allow T-shirts with other slogans on them, they have to allow the whosoever T-shirts. Our support's at 41%. We're still on deputation. I thank the Lord. Thank y'all for, I want to thank y'all for the Change for Change. That has helped tremendously. That has helped give us that little push that we've needed. It's made a difference. I don't think, y'all know that we just stepped out full time into the field in December. No longer, as they call it, no longer working our job and the ministry. We're full time in the ministry. And I don't know how I did it before. Apparently I didn't do either one very well because the ministry's so busy that there's no way I can think about cutting grass. My dad wants me to help him prune 5 hemlocks, and I was like, seriously? I don't have time for that. But I love my dad, and we're going to help him tomorrow morning do that real quick for about an hour. So, anybody else got any questions? We've got some. We've got one down in Wilkesboro. I believe we'll have enough for Wilkesboro down there. In this county, we're working with, hopefully, if we're trying to get Brother Chad Cole trained up. And I know that Brother Eugene Braswell wants to go into the high school with us and just observe. And he's just on fire. I love him. So there's a possibility there. Brother David Ward has been so busy and that he wasn't able to be with us probably for the last half of last year, for the whole second semester. He wasn't able to go with us. So it's just Mrs. Conrad and I teaching in the classes up here in the high school. So do pray for volunteers. I say that just, I know it's got to be a burden on their heart, and that's all it's got to be. There's nothing I can do. I can't make them because it won't work. but just pray the Lord burden somebody's heart, several people's hearts, a lot of people's hearts. But we do have, over in Avery County, I believe we've got volunteers that are getting ready to get trained up. I've been to two churches. I've been to one church, and Brother Hollifield has been to another church. He's another missionary that just came in last year, and there's people on fire to get into the schools over there. But not having much going on in this county. I'm not. But Lord's able. Amen. He is. Anybody else got any questions? All right. If you would, I'll just give to you what the Lord laid on my heart. I had a time with the Lord in this scripture, and I hope it'll be as much of a blessing to you as it was to me. Not really uplifting. We're going to be in Revelation. If you got your Bibles, turn to Revelation chapter 3, verse 7. The Church of Philadelphia. If you found your place, if you would, please stand with me in reverence of reading the Lord's Word. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 7. I'll read the scripture, then I'm going to pray, and then y'all can be seated. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 7. It's written, "And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth and no man openeth. I know thy works, behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world, to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Him that overcometh I will make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out. And I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, I just thank you, Lord, for this opportunity, Lord, to be back in the pulpit of my home church. Father, humbled, Lord, unworthy, I thank you for this opportunity, Lord. I thank you for everybody that's come out to support me tonight. Father, I pray that you just feed me with the Holy Spirit, Lord, as I stand to preach your word tonight. Father, I pray, Lord, that the church just get a blessing out of this scripture the way that I have, Lord, have a good time in it. And Father, learn from it, Father, glean from it, Lord, and that we can use it in our lives this week and forever. Father, I just want to thank you again for this opportunity. Father, be with the many prayer requests that we had, Lord, and all these things I pray in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. You can be seated. Written to the church of Philadelphia means brotherly love. Penned in red by John. It's in red in my Bible, at least. Spoken by Jesus Christ. It says, "To the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things which saith he that is holy and he that is true." Written by Jesus Christ. Or not written by Jesus Christ. Written by John. Spoken by Jesus Christ. The vision that John had back over in chapter 1, verse 10, "I was in the Spirit in the Lord's day." This is John talking. He said, that's good to be in the Spirit in the Lord's day, isn't it? That's the way we ought to come to church. Be in the Spirit. Be ready to worship. Not be thinking about what all's going on after the church. Not be thinking about what we're going to do at lunch. Just in the Lord's day, just be in the Spirit. Just be in the Spirit. Not worrying about the football games. Not worrying about going to the park. Not worrying about what we're going to do afterwards. Just be in the Spirit in the Lord's day. Just be in the Spirit. Come to worship Him. Come to have Him meet with you. But he says, "I was in the Spirit in the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. And the voice said, as Jesus called, talking, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. Verse number 13 says, and in the midst of the seven candles, John saw the seven candlesticks. He said, I saw one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment, down to the foot and the girt about the paps with the golden girdle. Verse 18 of chapter 1 says, I am he that liveth and was dead. He said, and behold, I am alive evermore. Amen. He said, I was alive, but I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive evermore. Amen. He says, and I have the keys of hell and of death. So there's no denying that Jesus Christ spoke these words to John, and John penned them down. He says, and to the angel of the church in Philadelphia, write, if you're taking notes on my preaching tonight, you're not going to like me. I don't have any points. I don't have my P's lined up or my R's. I tried that. It didn't work. So I just started reading this scripture, and the Lord just laid it out, and he was like, I just had a time in this. But the angel of the church in Philadelphia, write, these things say, is he that is holy. Holy is being sacred, pure, morally blameless. It's going to be all about Jesus. That's what he is. Morally pure. He's blameless. And he that is true. John 14 says this. John 14:6. It says, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Let me say one thing. First thing I saw in this, here's something you can write down. Here's your first R. It's the only one that's going to be an R. I noticed my Redeemer in this. I noticed my Redeemer. The redeem, when I was looking it up, I just had time. It said to regain possession of a thing alienated. I was like, thank you, regain possession of a thing alienated. Jesus Christ did that for us if you're here and you're saved. You can say amen because that's what happened to us. Before we were saved, we were alienated to Christ. We were alienated to God. He didn't know us. God and our sin, it didn't go together. We were alienated from God. There was no way to get to him until Jesus Christ shed that blood on Calvary. Jesus is my Redeemer. Nod your head like this. He's your Redeemer if you're saved tonight. You should smile about that. That's the first thing I saw in here. To regain possession of a thing alienated. Adam and Eve were walking with him, and then sin entered into the world, and they were alienated. Jesus Christ comes on the scene, sheds his blood on Calvary, and if you believe in Jesus Christ and that he was born, he died and raised again on that third day, we're redeemed. We're redeemed. Amen. These saith he that is holy and he that is true. Now I get to my John 14. John 14:6. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way. He's the only way. He's the only way to get to heaven. He's the only way for God to hear our prayers. He's the only way that we can get to God, to get to heaven. He's the only way. He's our Redeemer. He is the truth. He's also the life. Eternal life. The last part of verse 6 says, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Life eternal. Life eternal. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So what are we working for down here? Have you ever seen such a crazy time as this? I mean, there's people running everywhere. People going here, and there's people going there. You heard me mention it. Pray for volunteers in the schools. We go into churches, and we say, you know, if you got a burden for our young people, if you just want to come with us, if you just want to watch and see what goes on in the school, whew, they're out the door. People are so caught up today in everything, running here, running there. We got football games, we got soccer, we only got one day of the week, Sunday. It's our only day. Well, we can squeeze in church. Well, we got from 1 till, well, it gets dark at 9. We can still do this. We can still go to the lake and do this. It's crazy. People working like mad just to get to try and make ends meet. I don't know if it's to try and furnish what they think they need, or just to furnish what they really need. We took a big step off in pay. Y'all know that. We were bringing in close to, I'd say in our business, we were almost at $100,000 a year. Yeah. That's pretty good money. We got stepped into the ministry work. Talk about a big cut. We're at 41% of our support. We're not trying to get to 100,000. Don't get me wrong there. But we tallied up our bills of what we needed. Power bill, property taxes, insurance on the car. This is the stuff that you need. Took a huge cut in salary. And we're still doing all right. I'm like, man, this is crazy. I don't know where it's at. Do it in my head. 15, let's see, 12,000. We're probably at, oh gosh, I don't know, 16, something like that. I don't even know. 16 grand a year? I don't know. It's close to that. And we're still making everything. God will supply what you need. Don't get so crazy that you can't have time for God. Don't leave him out of it. Don't leave him out of it. He says, I am the way, I am the truth, and I'm the life. Eternal. So eternal life is what I'm talking about. Getting back to that, we're chasing a rabbit. Not far, though. eternal life. So what are we working for down here? I feel like people have forgotten the eternal life. We get so caught up in everything that we got going on down here that we've forgotten about the eternal part. Matthew 25:21, it's given the parable of the guy that he gave one 5 talents, the other guy 2 talents, and he gave some talents to the other guy, and they do certain things with them. Some guy invests them. They make more for the Lord. But what caught my eye was in 25:21, and the Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant, thou hast been faithful over a few things. I'll make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. You can tear that parable apart. I didn't have a day to go through this real quick. But what I got out of this was that there's going to be something waiting for me when I'm on the other side. After I leave this earth, I'm going to have something to do or get something for what I've done on this earth. We know we're trying to get crowns to lay at his feet, to have something to lay at the feet of Jesus when we get up there. Say, but the scripture said, here's something for you for what you've done. But we're going to be spending eternity with him. That's what we're supposed to be working for. But everybody, from what I see on this earth, is just getting so wrapped up in everything that goes on down here. I had a guy come to my house the other day. He was picking up some plants for me that I had from back when we were in the business to put in a job. And he looked at my grass and he was like, man, you're behind. I'm like, nope, I'm right where I need to be. The grass is going to be there. I don't have to have the most pristine house. Please don't come over to my house. It's a wreck right now. I just got the weed sprayed yesterday. They were real close to weed eating size, but I did have to mow the driveway once. It's important to get our priorities in order. Don't get so caught up in this world that we forget about God. Make sure that you get some stuff done for him down here. Life eternal. Matthew, he told him he's going to be the ruler over many. But like I said, you can tear that apart however you want to. But like I said, something's going to be waiting for you. Something's going to be up there for us to do. Something's going to be waiting on us on the other side. Back to verse 7. To the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy and he that is true, and he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. I'm going to come back to that at the end, so I'm not going to leave that one out. Verse 8 says, I know thy works. Paul divided these works up in Galatians chapter 5. He was having a little bit of time. Apparently they had to put it, Paul had to bring this into the church because they were having a little bit of a problem with it, maybe some compromise. I don't know what it was. But he was talking about the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and they're contrary to one another, so that you cannot do the things that you would. He said, after you're saved, you got this good thing inside of you called the Holy Spirit. I pray, don't quench that thing. When God gets on you to do something, not to do something, just listen to it. Don't quench that spirit, because I'm afraid there's going to be times when it's just going to, the light's going to get a little bit dimmer, and it's going to get a little bit dimmer, and it's going to get a little bit dimmer. When God convicts you of something, I love the convicting power of the Holy Spirit. I pray every morning that God, show me, search me, what I need to get rid of in my life. Because there's probably stuff buried down deep inside of us that we don't even know about. I mean, we can't control our dreams, and there's stuff that comes out in there. God, just reach down inside me, search me, make these things evident so we can purge them. I can purge them from my life. Don't quench that Holy Spirit. I'm thankful whenever he brings me stuff up to me and he says, you know what? You need to get rid of this. Yeah, I know. I need to get rid of it. No, you need to get rid of it. All right. I mean, get rid of it. Okay, I will. The reason we need to listen to that is because he wants us purified like gold. He says you're going to be tried by fire. He wants us pure. He wants us to get rid of this stuff in our lives, to be used of him, to have your blessings of him upon our lives. We need to get rid of a lot of this stuff that he's trying to show us. Some of this stuff that we just snuff out and tuck away and, oh, I'll get to it tomorrow. Not today. I'll do it tomorrow. We need to be sensitive to that Holy Spirit. What was that? Oh, it was in Galatians chapter 5. Paul, he was talking about these things and he said, the works of the flesh, we're talking about works here. He was telling the church, he said, I know thy works. Paul told the church in Galatia, he said, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. And he had to tell this to the church. He said, adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, and seditions and heresies. Well, what he's talking about in Revelation to the church at Philadelphia, he said, I know thy works. I mean, were good works. Now, Paul says in Galatia, he says, the works of the Spirit, they bring forth this good fruit. And in verse 22, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. He says, against which there is no law. Paul defined those in Galatians 5:17. But in Matthew 5:16, it also says that let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. These works, we got stuff to do down here. We definitely do. We need to be loving. We need to be the witnesses that we need to be. And in Matthew, Jesus told them, he said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. They need to see something different in us. Amen? Say amen right there. You're Baptist, you can say amen, all right? They need to see something in us. They need to see something a little bit different. We need to be that walking testimony for our Lord Jesus Christ. We're looking to win souls. That's what we're here for. Eternity. We got a long time to spend up there. We got a little work to do down here. Let that light shine, the Jesus Christ that we're supposed to. There's a lot of people out there that I don't want to let my light shine to. They do stuff wrong. I still have to love them. Most of what I read in the Bible, Christ didn't rebuke the sinner, did he? He rebuked the religious people. We got to love the sinners like Christ loved us. I was lost, wrapped up in it. I'm so glad he loved me and gave that blood on Calvary for me. Whew. Nobody could have brought me out of what I came out of except for him. I know that. He can do a lot for a lot of other people, too, if we let our light shine. There's people watching us, whether we know it or not, out there. There's eyes on all of us. You step inside the doors of that church, people see. People drive up and down the road. People know you go to Mount Lebanon Church. They're going to watch you. Let your light shine. Don't let them see stuff that they're going to say, well, I see what they do when they leave the church. Don't be like that. The convicting power of the Holy Spirit, listen to it. All right. I know thy work. Behold, I've set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. Acts 5:17. This is going to take me a little while to get through this one, because I just had a spell here. I love Acts 5:17. Oh, I got plenty of time. Acts 5:17. This is when Paul, he just healed the man at the beautiful gate. And he was preaching and there's, oh, I'll just save it for you. I'll get to it in just a second. In verse 17 of Acts chapter 5, it starts out. It says, "And the high priest rose up, and all they that were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and were filled with indignation. And they laid their hands upon the apostles, and they put them in the common prison. But the angel of the Lord by night," Revelation said, "I set before thee an open door," right? "But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, 'Go stand and speak in the temple.'" This is the open door that God's put there for us. To preach, to teach, to get the gospel out there. He says, "Go stand and speak in the temple to all the people and all the words of this life." "And when they heard that, they entered into the temple early in the morning and taught. But the high priest came, and they that were with him called the council together in the senate of the children of Israel, and sent to the prison to have them brought. But when the officers came, they found them not in the prison. They returned and told, saying, 'The prison truly found we shut with all safety.' It was locked up, but the keepers standing without before the doors. Everything was like it was supposed to be. But when we opened, we found no man within. Now when the high priest and the captain of the temple and the chief priests heard these things, they doubted of them whereunto this would grow. Then came one and told them, saying, 'Behold, the men whom ye put in prison standing in the temple, and they are teaching the people.'" That's what we do in the classrooms. We teach our young people so we can preach to them in the Yes Club. Amen. "Then when the captain with the officers had brought them without the violence, for they feared the people, lest they should have been stoned." See, there was such a great work going on down there. There was, if you read back in this chapter, there was like 5,000 people just got saved. There was a lot of believers there, and they didn't want to lay hands on Paul and his apostles because they're afraid the people were going to stone them and kill them. "Then the captain with the officers and brought them without violence, for they feared the people lest they should have been stoned. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council and the high priest and asked them, 'Did not we straitly command you that you should not teach in this name? And behold, you fill Jerusalem with your doctrine.'" I just love it. The word's going out. The open door. "And intended to bring this man's blood upon us. Peter and the other apostles answered and said," y'all know this one, "'We ought to obey God rather than man.'" Amen. "The God of our fathers," and this is where he starts to get all over him. He says, "The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. God hath exalted with his right hand to be the Prince and Savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. When they heard that, they were cut to the heart." Sharper than any two-edged sword, isn't it? The word of God. "When they heard that, they were cut to the heart and took counsel to slay them. Then stood up one in the council." I'm getting to where I'm going. Just hang on a second. "Then stood up one in the council and the Pharisees named Gamaliel, the doctor of the law, had in reputation among the people and commanded to put the apostles forth a little space." This guy was smart. He was a doctor in the law. And verse 35 says, "And said unto them, 'Ye men of Israel, take heed to yourselves what ye intend to do as touching these men.'" He was like, wait a minute. Can't you see what's going on here? He said, "Before these days rose up," I can't say his name, Theudas, "brought himself to be somebody, to whom a number of men, about 400, joined themselves, who was slain, and all, as many as obeyed him, were scattered and brought to naught. After this man rose up Judas of Galilee in the days of the taxing, and drew away much people after him. He also perished, and even as many as obeyed him were dispersed. And now I say unto you, refrain from these men and let them alone." Look at what he says next. For this is the counsel, or "For if this counsel or this work be of men, it will come to naught." He's like, if it's like men trying to be leaders like these other guys were, he said, if you leave it alone, it's going to, don't waste your time with it. But look at what he says next. But if it be of God, ye cannot overthrow it. And look at what he says next. Lest happily ye be found even to fight against God. And to him they agreed, and when they called the apostles and beaten them and commanded them, they should not speak in the name of Jesus, and let them go. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and every house they ceased not to teach and to preach in Jesus Christ. I like that. I like that a lot. Because if God's in it, it's not going to falter. I hear a lot today about our college campuses taking away the free speech zone. But God set before Brother Kyle an open door, what it said in Revelation. He said, I've set before thee an open door. People say, how can you go into the schools? How do you get into the schools? You teach what in the schools? I'm like, he set before me an open door. You may not be a preacher, teacher. God set before thee an open door daily. Daily. Everybody that you come in contact with, you're going to reach people that I'm never going to see. God set before each one of us an open door. Pray the Holy Spirit leads you to open that door. There's going to be times when it's not going to be open. My wife just had one the other day. Wanted to witness to a girl so bad it was lost. It was tearing her apart. She went over to talk to her. I said, did you get to witness to her? She's like, God didn't open that door. It's like, good call. Thanks for not blowing it. There's going to be times where we just need to, there's times where we can run people off. And you have to understand that you have to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. But he's going to set open doors before us that we need to witness to. Don't shut those doors on God. Because one day we're going to get up there and he's going to say, "Why I opened that door for you. Why didn't you do anything with that?" I don't want that to be me. Take advantage of every open door that God sets before you. But he's opening doors in ministries like what we see here with Paul. Unbelievable doors. When people say, you can't do that. No, I can't. I can't believe that school opened up. How'd you? No, it wasn't me. It was him. God opens doors. How'd you get to witness to that person? I just loved him. I just loved him. When God opened that door, I stepped through it and witnessed to him. I got to get back to my text. What time? Oh, my goodness. Brother Robert said there's an Atlanta game on or something like that tonight. I don't know. I got to go. Hurry. I'm just kidding, Brother Robert. He told me, he said, you don't have to hurry tonight. He said, Atlanta's not playing. I said, okay, thanks. I appreciate that. I know that works. Behold, I've set before thee an open door. No man can shut it. For thou has a little strength. He was telling the church here that, he was kind of rebuking him here a little bit. He said, you just got a little strength. We need a whole lot of strength. We need a whole lot of power. We need to be a whole lot of light for people that come. We need to be a drawing power. Pray for strength. Pray for strength. He said, for thou hast kept my word. Everything that's in here. This is our owner's manual. We get a lot of questions asked to us, don't we? What about this? What should I do in this situation? What should I do about this? I pray that you're going, let's see what the Word of God says about it. Let's see what the Word of God says about it. Because this should be, it shouldn't be what I think about it. It shouldn't be what the preacher thinks about it. If you got a question, take it to the book. There can't be, if you got a question about the book, keep digging and get somebody to help you with it. But this is where we got to get our answers out of here. There's a man that is lost. He's the principal of a school. I don't know if you all have ever seen our Promise Scripture books. They're these little books that we have for our young people that tells you where to go in the Bible if you're angry. It tells you where to go in the Bible if you've lost a loved one. It tells you, it helps you in the Bible answer your questions. But we got a lost principal in a school that has got one of these sitting on his desk. It's got Scripture in it. And he's got it on his desk and he's lost. There was a couple girls in his office one day saying, we got a problem. She and the other one's like, no, she. He's like, well, let's see what it says about in this book Tater Man left. Amen. Go into the Scripture to find out how to solve a problem. That's where you're going to find it. That's where you're going to find in the Word. He said, you've kept my word, and you've not denied my name. There's people out there, they're trying to take the name of Jesus out of everything. Why? Because it brings the power of conviction upon people. Have you ever seen a time when people, they don't care? You can mention God, that's okay. You know, but don't bring Jesus' name into it. Why? Because there's power in that name. There's power in it. He's my Redeemer. There's power in that name. That's why they don't. He says, but thou hast kept my word and not denied my name. There's power in that word. You better pray. I told y'all the very first time I got up here and preached and gave my testimony about my micro prayers. I still use them in Jesus' name. Every prayer, empty it. Not empty it. End it with in Jesus' name. There's power in that word. There's power in that word. There's power in this Bible. But I'm going to skip verse 9 because I'm going to come back to that. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience. That word patience there, it just means to have endured. Just means to have endured. We just need to endure here. There's going to be a lot of stuff we're going to go through. We're going to be persecuted a little bit. Maybe not what they did, like they did in the Bible. Y'all know what I'm talking about. People are going to look at you funny. Well, then, yeah, you just do it that way because you're, yes, I am. I do it to please God. He said, but you kept the word of my patience. I'm going to leave this world one day. If the Lord doesn't come back first, I'm going to go to Him. There's a lot of other religions out there. There's a lot of other beliefs out there. If any one of them's true, I'm done. Why? Because I've kept my faith, my promise, my redemption, my Savior is Jesus Christ. End of story. That's what I believe in. I know it's what you believe in if you're saved. He said, that's what you've kept the word of my patience. All this time, you've not denied my name. That's what it should be. Not denying His name. Jesus Christ, my Savior, my Redeemer, my redemption. I'm going to go ahead and finish up. There's the praise in verse 12. Him that overcometh, I will make a pillar and a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God. In the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down from heaven from my God, and I will write upon him a new name. That's our promise. That's our promise right there. For keeping the faith. For keeping the word of his patience. He tells us we're going to go through temptation. But there's also the main reason. He told us all this, and he also brought in, there's some people in here that ain't going to make it. Up in the second half of verse 7, I didn't expound on this because this is the end of it. It says, he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David and openeth and no man shutteth and shutteth and no man openeth. He holds the keys to heaven and hell. And if you've not believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, you can't get in. He's got the key. If you get there, he's going to say, you've not believed in my name. And you're not going to get in. Verse 9, he says, behold, I will make them the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet and know that I have loved thee. He's talking about the ones that aren't saved, the sinners, the ones that had to, maybe had the works. We can't, it's all by believing in the blood of Jesus Christ, that he hung on that cross for our sins, that he died and was raised again on that third day. And verse 11 says, behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, and let no man take thy crown. If we don't go to him quickly, he's going to come down to us. There's no doubt in my mind about that. We're seeing things happen now. I know we bring the world into it and say there's things happening. we live in mortal bodies. Come on, we're going to serve him, to have his blessing, to have that Holy Spirit working with us. And most importantly, if you're not saved, under the sound of my voice, there's no other way to get into heaven because he's got the key. And he's either going to say, you have my child come in, or he's going to say, I've got the key and you've not believed in my name. I'm sorry. He's got the keys to heaven and to hell. Father, we love you this evening. We just want to thank you for your word. Father, I just thank you for this church. Lord, I just pray, Father, increase work through this church, Father, to be an outreach to the community. Father, to be that little light on the hill. Father, drawing power, Lord, to draw people in. Father, I pray for a dear pastor, Lord, as he pastors this church, Lord, strengthen him. Lord, be with all of our officers, all of our, be with the choir, be with all the teachers. Father, be with everybody that serves in this church, Lord. Just touch him. Father, I pray that you just help us daily. Thank you for this opportunity, Lord. These things I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.